Good morning. Today we again follow the order printed out in your bulletin. Our opening hymn this morning is hymn 423, Jesus, Refuge of the Weary. I ask you to please stand. Again, we pray. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come into your presence to seek your mercy, hear your word, and offer up to you our prayers and praises. Hear us for the sake of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sins.
Amen.
We read together Psalm number 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let us therefore confess our sins unto the Lord our God, and look to him for mercy and forgiveness for the sake of the plenteous redemption accomplished by Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us from all our iniquities. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, We poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. We therefore flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of Jesus' holy life and his atoning sacrifice on the cross, I announce unto you the grace and mercy of God, and in the name and stead of Jesus Christ our Savior, proclaim to you forgiveness for all your sins through faith in Jesus' name. Amen. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is found on the inside back cover of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue our worship by singing hymn 699, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say. Again, I ask you to please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Our scripture lesson for today is recorded in St. John's Gospel in chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples,
He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You may be seated. We bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again we pray your Holy Spirit's guidance and blessing upon the speaking and the hearing of your word, that we might be strengthened and built up in our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might look to him and receive living water, life-giving water, and partake of it and be strengthened in our faith and nourished unto life everlasting. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In chapter 4, we see that it kind of continues where we left off last time, where we see that Jesus and his disciples were baptizing. And we see here that this conflict, this question which had arisen among John's disciples about Jesus, everybody coming to Jesus, and Jesus and his disciples baptizing more than John and his disciples were baptizing. It takes off from there and says, When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, and it explains, so Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And so he is baptizing in Judea, which is in the south, and the Pharisees are hearing as well about the fact that Jesus and his disciples are baptizing more than are coming to John the Baptist. Perhaps the Pharisees kind of kept track of this to know what was going on with, in some cases, their religious enemies, those who were a challenge to them in their area. And so Jesus determines to go back to Galilee, and it says, and he must needs go through Samaria. We don't know the exact reason why he chose to go through Samaria. Samaria, of course, lies between Judea in the south and Galilee in the north, but many times the Jews travel along the east side of the Jordan River in order to avoid going through Samaria. Samaria is, you know, it was a land that was a part of Israel. It was, you know, the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, owned lords, had been given large portions of that land. But after the northern kingdom was carried into exile, the Assyrians, who conquered the northern kingdom, brought in, you know, they carried every way captive, and one of their methods of trying to prevent nationalism from arising and people rebelling was to take away everybody from one country and then bring in people, a mixed bunch of people from all the other nations and countries that they had conquered. And so there were some Israelites left in the land, but not a whole lot, and many from other nations, and people were brought in and resettled there in Samaria. And they kind of had a mixed religion. They brought some of their beliefs from their homelands, and they mixed them with beliefs related to Israel's idolatry, as well as the true worship, which was taking place in Judea. They had a copy, or they had copies of scriptures, but they only accepted the first five books of Moses. They did not accept the entire Old Testament scriptures. And those scriptures they also altered to fit their own beliefs and teachings, so that they would not go to Jerusalem to worship, but they believed that they should worship there on Mount Gerizim in Samaria. And so the Jews, especially the strict Jews like the Pharisees, but the Jews pretty much hated the Samaritans, and the feeling was somewhat mutual. And so the Jews often wouldn't even pass through Samaria because they were viewed as foreigners, or people who had intermarried with foreigners, and their religion was a false and corrupted religion. And so the fact that Jesus chose to go through Samaria is somewhat surprising for most people who, you know, shared in this attitude toward the Samaritans. So Jesus goes through Samaria, and we read that he cometh to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Sychar may be related to Shechem in the Old Testament. And this is a place where Jacob had spent time and dug a well and lived there. And so they come to the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and it says, now Jacob's well was there. And so a well that Jacob had dug is in this land. And as we read, Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, so around noontime, getting toward the hottest part of the day. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. He asked her to give him a drink. There's much speculation about, well, why would this woman come in the middle of the day to draw water? And perhaps some of it is true. Normally, the women would come toward the end of the day to draw water. But here she comes in the middle of the day, probably at a time when the other women were not coming. And as you read a little bit about her history, maybe she wasn't too popular with the other women in the city because she had five husbands and the man she was living with now was not her husband. And yet, in spite of the fact that this woman was a Samaritan, meaning that she was a part of a group that held an erring religious faith, and in spite of the fact that she definitely committed adultery and was living in adultery, yet Jesus ministered to her and Jesus cared about her. He begins by asking for her to give him a drink, in other words, to draw up water. We might think of Abraham's servant when he went up to Haran. And he comes with his camels, and when Rebecca comes out, he asks for a drink because she could draw water with her vessel, and she offers to water his camels as well. And that was a sign that he had prayed about, and he knew that Rebecca was the one that God had chosen. Well, here Jesus asks this woman of Samaria for a drink. We read that his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat or to buy food. And then said, saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And so it's surprising, first of all, that Jesus, being a rabbi, would even ask a woman for a drink, but here he asks a woman who is a Samaritan for a drink. And she recognizes this. How is it that you're asking me for a drink? Because, you know, most of the Jews would consider her so unclean, they wouldn't even dare drink of anything that she drew for them or any vessel that she had to draw water with. Jesus' answer, and he often does this, always goes right to the point. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. In other words, if she recognized who Jesus was, and the gift of God that he could give to her, she would have asked of him to give her living or life-giving water. Living water is often referred to, you know, you could draw water from a well and it might be still. We have some towns called Stillwell, even though they may not spell it right. But there is also living water, which means it's a spring, so there's a stream of water flowing through. And so she perhaps understood this living water in that sense. And I think in one way, Jesus is using that illustration of living water. You know, it's not just stagnant water at the bottom of a hole, but rather it is water that is flowing. It's clean and fresh, life-giving water. The woman, of course, does not understand. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then, or from where then, hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof, himself and his children and his cattle? And so the woman fails to understand, and she wonders, well, you know, are you greater than even Jacob who gave us this well? Notice she calls Jacob her father and ancestor, so she probably has at least some connection to, you know, the people of Israel, the tribes of Israel who were carried away into captivity, but yet they had intermarried with all the foreigners and adopted changes and corruptions to the true faith. This reference to living water, of course, reminds me of a passage back in Isaiah. And this woman perhaps knew of this passage, even though they normally just use the first five books of Moses. But in Isaiah chapter 12, it says, in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And so, you know, even in prophecy, it speaks of this living water that provides eternal life, eternal salvation. And Jesus uses this word, this reference to living water, to refer to not an earthly water to nourish our bodies for a time, but to a water which nourishes our souls and gives to us salvation. We may not relate to this quite as well because living in a place where we're surrounded with lakes and streams and oftentimes have plenty of rainfall, sometimes more rainfall than we need. But this is an arid country, and wells were necessary to get water, and water was scarce, and people knew what it was to thirst. And so water was indeed viewed and understood as something, you know, necessary, that you had to search for it and find it to find life. Jesus answered and said unto her, verse 13, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. And certainly this woman knew that because she had to come every day to draw more and take it home for, you know, water to drink as well as water to wash. But Jesus said, But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And so the water that Jesus offered was a water that truly satisfied thirst. It provided eternal satisfaction from thirst. It provided all that one needs for everlasting life. And so he speaks of a living, a life-giving water. Elsewhere, Jesus said in John chapter 6, for example, in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He speaks about himself being the bread of life, the one who gives life to the world, the one who gives spiritual life and acceptance for God. Or in John chapter 7, Jesus said during the feast, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then John explained, But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. And so Jesus gives the Spirit of God, who brings us to faith, to trust in Jesus. Jesus offers and gives to us forgiveness for our sins, acceptance with God the Father, and it is something that satisfies our souls forever, so that we don't need to continually come and draw water to temporarily satisfy our needs. But in Jesus, they are fully satisfied. We might think about, you know, the people around us in this world, all the things that they do and buy in order to try to find some sort of peace and happiness in life. You know, they have to have all these things or do all these things or have the finest clothes and all these things, and they never satisfy, because then tomorrow they're out getting something else or something different or trying something else. And so continually they're never satisfied, but Jesus offers forgiveness of sins and eternal life. The forgiveness of sins he won for us when he died on the cross for the sins of the world. The life he won for us in fellowship with our God and Maker, so that we can dwell with him forever. And this is all that really satisfies. And a lot of times people try to fill that void in their soul, that searching that they have with all these things, and they miss what's truly important. What Jesus offers, a living water which gives life to the soul. Again, going back to Isaiah, this time in chapter 55, Isaiah writes, and God actually is speaking here, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And so it offers a life-giving food, nourishment for our souls, which gives forgiveness and eternal life through that descendant of David, our Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again. As water is necessary to sustain our lives in this world, so life-giving water, the Word of God, the blessings which Jesus offers and gives that he won for us on the cross, are needed in order to sustain our souls, to give us forgiveness and everlasting life. Earthly water we have to drink again and again and again, and we're never really satisfied. The forgiveness of sins and eternal life, which Jesus won for us, is forever, so that we can continually come back to this living water and have our souls nourished and be comforted, knowing that we have forgiveness and a place in God's kingdom. Jesus said here in to this woman in verse 14, you know, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, meaning that this water will fully satisfy the needs of our souls, and that this water that he gives shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And so it's kind of like, you know, going out to the water to draw water every day from an ancient well, or having a spring bubbling up right in our own home. You don't have to go draw water anymore. It's right there. It continually comes and bubbles up. And so also our Lord Jesus gives to us forgiveness, which just continues in our each day as we sin and fail. We look to the Lord Jesus and our sins are washed away in his blood. He's paid in full. And so when we look to Jesus and his cross, we are continually cleansed. We continue in that fellowship with the Lord God. And so what is the point of this for us? And we'll go on next week in this and seeing what happened in regard to this woman and also the others in the city. But the point of this for us is we often pursue all the things of this world, but we neglect the one thing that's really important: the need of our souls. And as we talked about in our Bible class this morning, there is only one way to have the need of our souls satisfied, and God provided that way when he sent his only begotten Son into this world as a true man to take our place under the law, fulfill it, and then to die on the cross for our sins. So that when we trust in Jesus, who is the bread of life, the living water, the need of our souls is satisfied. Our sins are washed away. We're brought back in fellowship with God. We're in communion with him, and we have everlasting life. You know, as John said it so clearly, and I know I've read this over the last couple of weeks now, a couple of times in 1 John chapter 5, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so in Jesus there is forgiveness and life. And if we don't have Jesus, we don't have forgiveness and life. And Jesus desires that all of us come to him and receive God's pardon and forgiveness in a place in his everlasting kingdom. God grant that to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. We continue our worship by bringing forward our offerings.
Can I invite you to please stand for prayer? Merciful Father, for the sake of the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, forgive us for failing to walk by faith in the promises of your word. Move us to read and study our Bibles regularly and to come before you with our petitions and praises. Keep us from being overcome by our own sinful inclinations, and preserve us in the true and saving faith unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O Christ Jesus, eternal Son of God and our Savior, you gave your life for ours when you died on the cross and made atonement for our sins. Bless the work of our pastor and congregation, and of faithful pastors, missionaries, and congregations everywhere, so that your life-giving word might be proclaimed among us and among the peoples of the world, and those who hear might repent of their sins and look to you and your cross for pardon and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy. O Holy Spirit, do not forsake us because of our weakness and disobedience to your word. Be patient with us and move us to continually repent of our sins and look in faith to our Savior for mercy. Teach us from your word, strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith. Lord, in your mercy. O loving and merciful God, our nation and people are living in darkness and are under your wrath and judgment. Open the eyes and ears of our people and rulers that they might see and hear the truth of your word, repent of their evil deeds, and fall down at the feet of Jesus, pleading for pardon and forgiveness, and then seeking to walk in your ways, that your judgment may be turned away and your eternal wrath against us be averted. Lord, in your mercy. O healer and preserver of our bodies and souls, as you have promised, we ask you to provide for all our needs and to preserve us from all harm and danger and all evil. We lift up to you those among us who are afflicted. We remember especially today Linda, Joyce, Carl, Harley, Donna, John, and Karen, and all others we name in our hearts. Have mercy upon us, grant healing to the sick, comfort to the oppressed, and strength for all to endure the troubles and afflictions of this life, in the hope of everlasting glory, for the sake of Christ Jesus, our Lord, or our Savior. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We join also the prayer which our Lord Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. We continue by singing hymn 637, Draw Near and Take the Body of the Lord. Life eternal yields. I ask you to rise for the reading of the words of institution. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And again, I invite you to come forward. Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. And the Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Now may this holy body and precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you for Jesus' sake. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, we thank you for fulfilling all righteousness in our stead, and then taking upon yourself the guilt and punishment for all our sins, and making full atonement for us by your perfect sacrifice on the cross. And we thank and praise you for giving us to partake of your one holy sacrifice, that we might also partake of the blessings you won for us by your death, and have made sure to us by your glorious resurrection. Strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith, and move us to live our lives for you while we await your glorious return and the joys of your everlasting kingdom.
Salvation, which thou
receive the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may be seated. We close by singing hymn 919, Abide, O Dearest Jesus.
Again, a welcome to all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The only announcement I have is that we have a brief meeting following our service today next door. Anything else this morning? Yes, Lee.
God bless everybody and hope they drive home safe.
Thank you. A good blessing. God bless everybody and God let them drive home safe. So, okay, well, God's richest blessings to you.